Good morning, and welcome to our 9 a.m. Sunday morning service broadcast at 100.1 FM, or you may be listening to the live stream on the internet. The easiest way to get to the live stream is on the church website at www.stpaulykt.org, or click the link, click the link Shoutcast audio stream at the bottom of the page. Our hymns this morning are from previous worship services that were recorded earlier. And we also ask that you please check for changes to the schedule on our Facebook page at St. Paul Lutheran Church, Yorktown, Texas, or the website, or call the church office. Worship bulletins and announcements can be found in two places, on our church website and in the container on the porch at the educational building. This Tuesday, we do have a council meeting, and one of the items on that council meeting will be to discuss when we will be opening church back up for worship, for attendance here in the worship service. And also how to do that safely. So please be looking for announcements. Next Sunday, I will make an announcement of when and how we will be opening up. And our sympathy goes and our prayers go for the family and friends of Janice Lang and for Irene Wolf. And the radio broadcast is in their memory, given to the glory of God by Dr. and Kathy John Frails. Our gathering hymn this morning is Let the Whole Creation Cry. It is out of Lutheran Book of Worship, number 242. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, for in your wisdom you have formed us. You feed the hungry and clothe the naked. We bless you and praise your name forever. You set free those who are bound. We bless you and praise your name forever. You raise up those whose courage falters. We bless you and praise your name forever. You provide for our every need. Accept our grateful praises. You have called us from all peoples. We rejoice and bless your name forever. You bless your people with peace. We bless you and praise your loving grace. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, for in your wisdom you have formed us. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of all power, you called from death our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Send us as shepherds to rescue the lost, to heal the injured, and to feed one another with knowledge and understanding. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Alleluia, Jesus Lives, number 147.
Thank you. The first lesson is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. The baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We will be reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Second lesson is from First Book of Peter, chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. It is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. But the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, children. I hope you're all listening. I hope your parents are also listening. I hope everyone is doing well today on this wonderful Sunday. Today, we're going to repeat a verse from our gospel lesson. And from John chapter 10, verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus, just before this verse, is talking about sheep. And he's talking about how you bring sheep into the gates. And he said there's only one way to come inside the pen. That is, someone has to open up the gate, and that's it. If you come in through another way, by crawling underneath, jumping over, going through the fences, breaking a fence, if you do any of that, you are not of Jesus. And so the disciples, or the people who are hearing him, didn't understand. So today, we're going to talk a little bit in John, and we're going to talk from the book of Acts. And I'll show you how these two go together. So I want you to imagine, when you come back to St. Paul Lutheran, how do you enter this church? Are you going to wait for Mrs. Bruins, who has piano practice, and you're going to sneak in with her? No, you wouldn't do that. Are you going to take a crowbar to one of our windows and pry it open and try to jump in through that way? No, that would cost us, and that would put you in trouble, and that would also be very silly. Are you going to wait for one of the Gomerts to come in to open up the door so you can help them with the radio? No, they wake up way too early, so you'd probably still be in bed. Are you going to tell Pastor Tim, hey, I'm going to go clean the church, and then you come clean it and then just stay here? Well, no, you wouldn't do that. It'd be a little bit weird. Plus, your parents would miss you, and we don't have any food in the sanctuary, so I don't know what you're going to do for 5 days until we all get together on Sunday. How do you enter St. Paul Lutheran? Well, you enter through the front door or the side door. But we do have doors for you to come inside, and you can also go outside. That's what Jesus is trying to say here. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus. You cannot get to God by, let's say, if I do 100 good things in my life, God will love me and accept me, and I can go to heaven. You can't do that. You get to God by going through Jesus, by knowing Jesus. If you say to yourself, I'll raise $1 million, and I'll give it to 10 different churches. Well, that's very good and very kind of you. But again, you cannot get to God by money. And if you say, well, I will just study the Bible all day long, and then I'll go live on top of a mountain. And that's very good, and that's very nice, and a noble life. But again, if you don't believe in Jesus, you can't get to God. There is only one way to get to God, and that is to have a relationship with Jesus. And so, in our first lesson from the book of Acts, it reads, the people baptized themselves and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. The Lord had added to their number daily. People also gathered together at the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. So here is the prime example of how you enter God's sheep pen through Jesus. The disciples, they hung out with Jesus. They knew Jesus. They listened to Jesus. Everything that Jesus had said, they had done. And so when Jesus went away, he gave them one last command. That is the Great Commission. We're not going to talk about the Great Commission today. We'll talk about it another time. But when Jesus gave the Great Commission, the disciples listened, and they listened very closely. So when we get to the book of Acts, and we get into chapter 2, we see that Peter and John are multiplying the disciples, and they're multiplying the early church. Why? Because they have a relationship with Jesus, and now Peter and John and the rest of the disciples are the gatekeepers to God. Jesus is the shepherd, we are the sheep. Jesus puts Peter and John in charge, and he leaves. And Peter and John go and spread the good news, that is Jesus Christ. And more people, as it says in the book of Acts, come to Jesus. So First thing we should do is praise God that someone told us about Jesus. Second thing we need to do is come to God in the correct way. And that is coming and knowing Jesus, and then we can get to God. The third thing that we need to do is, well, we can't keep God and Jesus to ourselves. We have to go out, and just like Peter and John, we have to tell people about Jesus. So when you come back to Sunday school, when you come back and we start doing things again, please pay attention so you can know all the stories about Jesus, and one day it'll be your turn, and you'll be a gatekeeper, and you're going to raise the gate, and many, many people are going to follow you. And I wholly believe this because all of these children who attend St. Paul Lutheran are very smart children, very capable children, very fun, and you all have Jesus inside of you. So God bless. Amen. Have a good week, and I can't wait to see you back.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was summertime, and the church didn't have air conditioning, and so they opened up the windows. And that helped bring in a cooling breeze, or at least a little bit of refreshing air. But also what came in are all the noises from outside. Some of the traffic, and since they were close to the edge of town, sometimes you could hear animal noises, and just other things that were going around in the neighborhood. But also, too, the nursery for the church was in the church basement, and they, too, had their windows open. So you could hear the sounds of the children down in the basement. A lot of times they were happy sounds of children playing, or maybe of responding to one of the teacher's lessons that they had going on down there, maybe some singing. But every once in a while, you would hear a cry of distress. And many times that would just be a single cry. But sometimes it would definitely be a cry of distress, and the cry would not cease. And so you would see a parent, a father or a mother, stand up from inside the congregation, and there was maybe 150 people in the congregation worshiping on that Sunday morning, and maybe 10 or 12 down in the basement with the nursery. But you would see only one parent rise up and go down into the basement, and a few minutes later, you would hear that crying cease. Why only one parent when there's 10, maybe 15 children downstairs? That one parent knew the sound of the child's cry. They knew that voice. They knew that was their child. And so they went down to the basement to comfort the child. The child wouldn't be comforted by the caregivers that were down in the nursery. But as soon as that parent went down there and started talking to the child would calm down. The child, too, knew the voice of the parent. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Jesus used a lot of parables in his teaching, and he used things that were common in that day and time. Maybe a lost coin, or maybe a grain of wheat, or maybe a father and his sons, or maybe a traveler and bandits along the way. And in a number of parables, it was sheep. But a lot of the things that Jesus used in his parables in that day and time, we have kind of lost the meaning, or we don't use those same things in the same way that Jesus did it. In modern times, those farmers and ranchers who have sheep usually have fenced-in pastures. They let the sheep graze and wander where they want to go. Sometimes maybe they have a donkey with them, or maybe some dogs with them. But for the most part, the farmer, the rancher's not out there in the midst of the sheep. In Jesus' day and time, there were no fences. The pastures were wide open. And so there had to be a shepherd with the sheep at all times. And effectively then, the shepherd became part of the flock with the sheep. He lived with the sheep while they were out in the pastures. But he was basically then the lead sheep. He was the shepherd. And he would lead them then to the green pastures. He would find the green grass, the best grass for them to graze on. He would find the places for them to water down. But when it was evening time and the sheep were ready to bed down, there needed to be a place for the sheep to bed down, because many times they were out in the countryside. They were away from home. And so what the shepherd would do would be to find a place that had a natural barrier, maybe a bluff or an outcropping of rocks or a particularly thick place with brush. And at least one side would need to be a permanent fixture of some sort, shelter of some sort. But then the shepherd then would find branches and rocks and stones and would build an enclosure big enough to hold all the sheep. But in that enclosure, he would leave one narrow opening. And so when sun would start to set, he would call all his sheep by name. He would actually call them up, and then he would call them by name, one at a time. And the sheep would be willing to come to him because they trusted him. He was a part of their flock. And the sheep would come to the shepherd. And the shepherd would run his fingers through the wool and inspect the sheep and maybe put some salve on any kind of injuries that the sheep may have had during the day. And then the shepherd would take the sheep and shove him between his legs into the sheep pen. And he would inspect every single one of those sheep and doctor them up as he needed to doctor them up. Once all the sheep were inside the pen, the shepherd would sit down in that opening. Effectively then, the shepherd became the gate. He was not only a shepherd, but he was also the gate. That way, if there were any thieves or bandits, they would have to crawl over all the rocks and the bramble and everything else and make a commotion. The shepherd then would be wide awake and could fend them off, or he could protect that opening from the thieves or bandits, or the same thing with predators as well then too. Or sometimes during the night, if something would disturb the sheep and the sheep would start to get restless, the shepherd was right there as well then too. And he would be able to talk to them or maybe even sing to them and to calm them down so that they could get the peaceful rest that they needed. But for as long as that shepherd would be alive, nothing could harm those sheep. They would be protected. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. We learn several things from this parable that Jesus told. One is that he is our good shepherd. He is the one who watches our going in and our coming out. He is the one who provides for us the things that we need in this life, the food, the shelter, water, whatever it is that we need in this life. He is the good shepherd who watches over us. He is also the good shepherd who is willing to lay down his life for us, which he did. But even in death, death itself could not conquer Christ. We are in the midst of Easter season, and we still celebrate that resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us life as well, and gives us life abundantly. Sheep are also intelligent enough to know the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherd is able to train them so that they also know his voice very well and learn to trust that voice, that they are willing to follow him. A lot of times the shepherd did not herd the sheep, but rather he just called them and they would follow along. A pastor was called on to do a funeral of someone he really didn't know. It was a resident of the local nursing home. The man had no family around. Really, nobody seemed to know a whole lot about this man. And so when the pastor was asked to do the funeral for him, he didn't know what to say about this man. He didn't know who he was. He had met him before because he was a resident there at the nursing home, and the pastor would go on a regular basis to do services there at the nursing home. And the man usually came to the worship services, and he had had a few conversations with him, but he was a quiet man. And so the pastor went to the nursing home and was talking with some of the residents, if they knew him very well. And they said, no, not really, but he always seemed to be calm and had a polite manner about him. If somebody was in distress, he would help calm them down until the staff could come and offer the assistance that they needed. For the most part, he kept to himself. The pastor also asked the staff about this man. Who was he? Where did he come from? And turns out some of the records had been lost. Some of them were a bit sketchy. But the story that he pieced together was that at one point he was at a state hospital. But the state had shut that facility down, and so the man was moved to a VA facility. Well, after a short time, the VA started checking records, and they could not find any records that would warrant him in being in a VA facility. And so that's when he was moved into that local nursing home. And so no one really knew much about him. What was the pastor supposed to say at the funeral? What the pastor finally said was this at the funeral. He said, even though none of us really knew who this man was, our Lord and Savior did know who he was. Surely the Creator, who made and fashioned this man in his own image, would know who this child of God was. And certainly this man knew the Lord, because when the Lord called him into worship, he would come. When someone would be in distress and the Lord would call him to come for assistance and for calming the patients, he would come. And then here, in these last couple of days, when the Lord called him to his final home, he heard that voice and he followed the Good Shepherd. Jesus calls us. The Good Shepherd calls us into his keeping. In this time now, we are a part of his flock. And he leads us. He leads us to green pastures. He leads us to the still waters to give us food and to give us drink. He leads us, even though we may be going through times of distress, times of stress, even when we go through the darkest valleys. Christ is still our shepherd. We know his voice, and he knows us, and he leads us. He is our protector, willing to lay down his life for us. Christ is also the gate, who checks us over, who puts salve on our wounds and on our injuries, giving us confidence, and it is a voice that we know, a voice that we can trust. So we give thanks to God for his Son, Jesus Christ, who sends us the Good Shepherd in whom we can trust. We also give thanks to God for those people in our lives who first called us by name, our parents, or maybe our grandparents, maybe a gentle neighbor living close by, maybe another relative, but teaching us how to trust and how to rely upon one another. Christ is our Good Shepherd, the one in whom we trust, the one in whom we know that voice, and who knows us. He is our Good Shepherd, and he gives us our life, and he gives it abundantly. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of the day is "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," number 456. Thank you. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with the offering at this time. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in your divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, We join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Shepherding God, we thank you for the educational ministries of your church. Enrich the work of teachers, professors, mentors, advisors, and faculties at colleges, seminaries, and learning sites. Lord, in your mercy. Creating God, we praise you for those who maintain and operate farm equipment, for those who plant and harvest crops, for local farmers' markets, for those who herd and shepherd animals, and for those involved in agriculture of any kind. Strengthen their hands as they feed the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guiding God, no one should be in want. Bid the nations to return to their paths of righteousness and inspire our leaders to walk in your ways so that all may have the opportunity to live abundantly and sustainably. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comforting God, you carry us tenderly. We pray for those who walk through dark valleys overshadowed by anxiety and overwhelmed with suffering. We pray especially for Joyce Lamprecht, Renee Pierce, and for the families of Janice Lang and Irene Wolfe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Nurturing God, you desire justice for the hungry. Bless food pantries and feeding ministries in our community and throughout the world. May none of our neighbors lack for basic needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you promise us in your word that one day you will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying. Assure those who grieve the death of loved ones of this promise, and sustain them in their grief with the hope of eternal life. Give them faith to entrust their dearly departed loved ones into your care, and to look forward to that day when they shall join them and all the saints around your throne of glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you are at home and it is safe to do so, please join hands as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, number 370.
Blessed be the tie that binds us.
as you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.